everyone, it's Elizabeth. I'm back, and I hope that you've all been well. Today, I want to take a quick break from Hamilton and talk with you all about the current state of national politics, where we are as a country, and just all of that. This is something that I've been meaning to record an episode about for a few months, and I just never got around to it, not only because my life has been pretty busy, but also because I think it's a pretty big topic. So I wanted to structure this episode in a way that would be meaningful and productive for you all and really handle this topic in the right way. So with that, what I ultimately decided is that I just want this to be a very honest and down-to-earth conversation. A lot of the times, I think politics is seen as a difficult topic, and that perspective, you know, I completely get it. It's so justified. Politics is messy, it does get corrupt, and it gets ugly. But I want to try and help foster a comfortable discussion about politics because as much as it is difficult, it's also really important. I'll also preface this episode by just disclosing, I'm intentionally completely unscripted right now because I really just want to give you all my most real opinion. And also everything I'll be saying is purely my view and me as an individual trying to wrap my head around everything that's going on in this country. As always, I'd also love to hear from you as well. So if you'd like to share your own thoughts with me, please, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. At the end of this episode, I'll also reference some additional sources and articles that I think are really helpful if you'd like to continue reading up on and learning about current events and politics. So with that, if we look at everything that's unfolded in the past few months, I think that the most obvious place where this discussion starts is with Joe Biden's election in November. On Saturday, November 7th, several days after Election Day, Biden was declared the winner of the 2020 presidential election, and it was a huge day. For over 80,000 Americans, it was a happy day. But for over 70,000 Americans, it was also not such a happy day. Trump was the first president in nearly three decades to lose a re-election, and many of his supporters are really strong supporters. There are so many perspectives and opinions surrounding the election that I can't possibly address all of them without this episode being like 80 hours long. But I think that despite the happiness and relief that many of us felt on that day, most of us also knew that the partisanship that had really become exacerbated in our country over these past few years wasn't just going to go away. So, of course, we celebrate this happy day, and that is completely justified and right and good, but there's also this lingering uncertainty. I do also want to point out one thing about this election that I think is pretty amazing, which is that if we look for a second purely at voter turnout, setting aside who the candidates were and what their platforms were, the election was arguably a pretty amazing moment for democracy. Not only did Biden collect more votes than Barack Obama and set a new record for the popular vote, but Trump did as well. I think that maybe why people were so compelled to vote in this election is because politics has become so contentious and fraught. But I do think that one of the positives that I did take away from the election is that people voted. What we need to do now is encourage all of these voters, many of whom were previously apolitical, to keep voting and keep being educated and keep staying up to date. It goes without saying that politics is an extremely dynamic system. So many things happening by the day, by the hour, by the minute. But for now, let's flash forward to Tuesday, January 5th, when Democrats Warnock and Ossoff won Georgia's runoff elections, giving the Democrats control over the U.S. Senate. I saw and I continue to see so much light in this moment not only because I personally support the Democratic Party and am excited to see a Congress that'll be able to move past gridlock and really make progress on pressing policy issues, but also because of what this election shows about our country. We have Reverend Warnock, who's Georgia's first Black senator and who's bringing about more representation among our representatives. We also have Stacey Abrams. The victories in Georgia are, of course, a testament to the combined work of many, from the everyday voter to the Democratic National Committee, but most of all, it's a testament to the work of Stacey Abrams. For the last decade, she has been working to flip Georgia blue, and she has not given up. In just the last 2 years, Stacey Abrams has registered over 800,000 voters in Georgia, and she's specifically focused on getting Black and minority voters to the polls. Stacey Abrams understands what democracy is, and guess what? Those Black and minority voters, they showed up. Unfortunately, the story goes downhill from there. I think we all know by now what happened at the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, so I don't feel a need to provide a play-by-play and rehash the details of the riot that took place. Instead, I'm just going to share my reaction to the riot. I was doing my homework after school when I heard that this was happening, and I remember my parents turning on the TV and all of us watching as this unfolded. I was completely shocked by what I was seeing, but also by how much this seemed at odds with the America that I've grown up in. I mean, of course, my generation has seen the darkness of our country in so many ways, especially as of recently. We've witnessed Trump's handling of the coronavirus and the countless deaths that it's caused. We've witnessed police brutality and racism. We've seen the ugly partisanship that's been on the rise in national politics. But we've also seen the light, and from my childhood, that's honestly what I remember the most. I remember when I was 5 and the first African-American president won an unprecedented number of popular votes. I remember John McCain telling his supporters shortly thereafter that they have nothing to worry about because Obama is a good man who will be a good president. I remember Sonia Sotomayor becoming the first Hispanic and Latina Supreme Court justice, and I remember reading and loving her memoir when it came out. So, because of these positive memories that I do have, it was particularly startling to see such a violent attack on our democracy. One of the snapshots from the entire day that was especially horrifying to me was this image that circulated of a man holding a Confederate flag in the Capitol building. I mean, throughout history, our country has waged wars against enemies like the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, Japan, who were ideologically and fundamentally different from us. But these have all been wars with different countries. And when we fought the Civil War, we were fighting against part of ourselves. We were fighting against a land that should have been part of the United States, people who left our country. The Confederacy went against everything good that the United States has ever stood for, and the fact that someone could show that flag in our Capitol building was just sickening to me. It really showed me how fragile our democracy is, and even given how horrific the storming of the Capitol was, I think that was a really important message for me to learn. I found myself relieved and inspired and hopeful a few weeks later when President Biden was inaugurated. And of course, those feelings are justified. It was a happy day, and nothing can take that away. But now, I do see myself also looking at our nation and our government with a more cautious perspective. Yes, our democracy gives us freedom, but it also doesn't just spring up and exist all on its own. We all have to do our part to uphold that democracy. We need to vote. We need to hold our representatives and government accountable. We need to stay educated, informed, and involved. So, those are kind of my thoughts and my reflection on the events of the past few months. Again, I really would love to hear from you all, so do feel free to reach out to me about your own thoughts. You can reach me on Instagram at ElizabethChun_. Also, I want to leave you all with some resources that I think have been really helpful to me in processing everything and continuing to learn. So I'm going to try to provide some resources of diverse forms. The first is The Daily, which is a daily news podcast run by the New York Times. If you're like me and you don't have that much time in your day to really sit down and read a paper in depth, or if reading just isn't really your thing, The Daily can be a really valuable resource. I listen to it when I'm in the shower every morning, but you can also listen to it on the go, during your breaks, really whenever. The second resource is an account on Twitter called Now This News. Now This literally posts every 10 minutes or so about everything from politics to extreme weather around the country. So there are a lot of posts coming up on your feed constantly, but I think that it's a really comprehensive account. So I know that when I'm looking at Now This, that I won't miss anything. What I do a lot of the time is I'll scroll through Now This's posts. Then if something really catches my attention, I'll read up on it more on other news sources. The third resource that I would recommend is an account on Instagram called Impact. Impact posts a lot about important social issues, but what's probably the best thing about it is that the news is really, really accessible. It's not only visually appealing that you can kind of just swipe through, but it's also written in a way that's quick and easy to understand, which I think is really helpful. Also, speaking of social media, I would really encourage all of you to follow government officials, especially your local representatives on Twitter and Instagram and whatever else you use, because it can actually be a really great way to stay directly in touch with them and get updates on issues that might be really relevant for you. Finally, this is something that's very specific to the storming of the Capitol, but I really, really encourage all of you to check out Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's talk about what happened at the Capitol on her Instagram. Her handle is AOC, and you'll see that she has an hour-long IGTV called What Happened at the Capitol that I think is really worth everyone listening to. Also, just one word of caution with news sources and social media. Do stay aware that every news source has some degree of bias. So when you are reading up on events, it's really important that even if you are kind of getting your main source of information from one source, that you do check out other sources and kind of see what corroborates, what might be a little bit of bias that's making its way into the news. And yeah, I think that's really important to keep in mind. So that's all that I have for now, but thank you all for tuning in again. Please feel free to reach out to me to chat, to tell me your opinions. I'd just love to hear from you. I'll be back very soon with another episode to dive into the next few songs from Hamilton. But until then, please mask up, social distance, and stay safe. Bye, everyone.